This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 34 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are presented by Talk Loud Radio. You can always find us at TalkLoudRadio.com, all your podcast networks, as well as every Tuesday. And starting this week, we'll also be live on Friday on Facebook. You can also find us in such groups as Year Round Fantasy Football and the Fantasy Football Connect Facebook group. And, of course, we're always streaming in the Going for Two app. All right, so before we get started tonight, I wanted to break the big news tonight that we've got. We're actually going to be having our first co-host. He's going to come on with me every Tuesday, and we're going to talk fantasy football. And that guy is none other than Mr. Ryan Searfoss, who you all know pretty well if you've been following the show. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic. Glad to be on here officially now instead of just every other week.
Definitely, man. I've never actually considered having a co-host. So when you came in, sort of asked me about doing a co-host kind of thing, I was kind of like, all right, you know, that could work. It's, you know, sometimes it gets a little difficult being the host here and running the whole show. So it'd be good to kind of share the load a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. I'm excited to talk some football on a weekly basis.
Definitely. So you had some drafts this weekend, man. Tell me how your drafts went this weekend.
I liked my drafts. I had two keeper leagues, and then I did my girlfriend's draft for her. My one was awesome. I have D-Hop, Keenan Allen, bunch of talent on there. And I got Dalvin Cook and Howard all on one squad from a keeper league.
Nice.
Shocking part, I think, was the craziest all weekend. I picked up D-Hop at 2-4.
Damn.
And it just made my day.
That's crazy. How the hell did he fall that far?
Yeah, I saw Shady go in the top 13 twice.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I actually had two. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. Who are you saying?
I'll say I had two drafts this weekend myself. I actually had my 16-team Riders League that we did. We've had it now for 3 years now. It's kind of grown from a 10-team to a 12-team and 16 teams the past 2 years. And I didn't do terrible in that one. It's kind of hard to tell. I picked a lot of high upside guys in that league. And then I had my work league, which I pretty much killed it there as a 10-team league. And I'm just not used to playing 10-team leagues. But some of the guys I was getting in late rounds was just ridiculous because I'm used to playing in at least 12-team leagues. And some of the guys are kind of new. So I pretty much killed that league. But my writers league, I'm a little unsure about that one.
10 teams are crazy because you think your team looks good and they're just, exactly. It has to be unbelievable.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, let's just jump into this. Of course, we're just coming out of week 3 of the preseason, known, of course, as the dress rehearsal for week 1. Before we get into all the news and notes from that week, what stood out you to the most this weekend?
John Ross popped off the board. He had that huge play. He made these two guys look stupid right before the end zone, shaking them, and he looks like he's going to be the outside receiver opposite AJ Green out Cincinnati, which looked great for them, and he might be a late round guy that if you have those last minute drafts, you should be able to pick up on the cheap.
Definitely.
I love the quarterback play for majority of everyone looked pretty solid out of the rookies.
Agreed. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I've been kind of hesitant to call him an RB1 just because he is a smaller guy, and will he get the workload? And CJ Anderson is there, of course, you know, after having Jonathan Stewart last year. But after watching these first three preseason games, I think he's a legit RB1. And I think that it was kind of surprising to see them use him so much in the preseason with him, you know, supposedly being a guy that can get injured, and you know they were using him pretty heavily in the preseason. So as an owner of him in the Dynasty League, I'm pretty happy about that myself. But I was hesitant coming in drafting for redraft, getting him in the early second round. But now I have no qualms about it at all. I'm ready to get him if I can get him in the early second round.
Yeah, I got sniped on him a couple times before that. I really like what they're going to do with him. And he proved in college he could take the load. So
definitely. A couple other things that I took of note this weekend was the Rams not playing their starters. What do you think of that going into the season? You think that's going to affect them starting off early?
Maybe week one or two. I'd like to have a better idea what the receiving core is going to look like and how it's going to get spread out and where they're playing those guys. From a fantasy perspective, it makes me hesitate a little bit. But other than Brandon Cooks out of the receivers, there's nobody I'm really want to start if I'm given the chance. The first week or so.
Yeah, definitely not the first week. You want to see how things kind of shake out. And I think from a fantasy point of view, I mean, I know it's you want to see your guys play and see how they're going to look, but at the same time, you don't want the Darius Guy situation where one of them goes down with an ACL injury in the preseason, you never even get to use them. So in that respect, you know, it was good if you own any Rams players that they didn't play, they can't get hurt. They'll be ready for week one at least. Not to say they don't get hurt week one, but at least they'll make it to week one and not get hurt in the preseason. So you always have that advantage.
Yeah, if I have Todd Gurley, I'm ecstatic.
Definitely. I think he was too. I don't know if you saw the interview where he said that, they asked him about playing in the preseason. He said it was like a dream come true to not play in the preseason, that this is what he wanted to do and just start from week one and go from there. So it's pretty funny from a guy like him. You know, you wouldn't expect it from a football player to say something like that, but he was happy to not play in the preseason.
I respect that.
Definitely.
I like that.
All right, man, let's get into some of the news and notes from this weekend. Of course, we got 1 weekend left of preseason, a lot of drafts happening this coming weekend. People doing some last-minute cramming for their drafts. Let's go ahead and kick it off here with Josh Gordon. The news, of course, is that he won't start week one, but he will play if healthy. One, if you own Josh Gordon, are you going to start him in week one? And two, if you're drafting, does he fall at all in your drafts?
I've been fairly anti-Josh Gordon. I have zero shares of him. I don't plan on getting any. I think it's a good time to just sell him at the point. But if they're playing him and they're saying he's not starting week one, chances are it's one of those things they're just holding him out and they'll put him in later in the game. But I'm still not a huge fan of him. It's been too long.
Agreed.
Especially for me to trust him as a guy who's drafting, what, the 5th, 6th round now?
Yeah, I think his ADP is around 5th round. It may have even creeped into the 4th round there for a little bit when he first came back.
Yeah, I have no trust there.
Yeah, definitely. I think as an owner myself, I actually own him in my Dynasty League. I'm hoping that he ends up being a good receiver, a guy I can start, in my flex position. But I'm not putting my hopes up in him. I don't think if I'm drafting right now as a wide receiver 2, I don't feel comfortable with that. But having him in my Dynasty League, he is basically my 4th best, maybe my 5th best receiver. So I have that luxury of using him in the flex position. Maybe if he starts off really hot and I need a guy to fill in for an injury or a bye week, I have Josh Gordon there. But if I'm drafting him as a wide receiver 2, I think I'm going to pass on him.
Yeah, that's a little scary there. Would you rather have him or Landry?
I think I'm definitely going to have Landry over Gordon. I may not own either one of them, 'cause I think they both kind of steal from each other. But if I'm going to own one of those receivers, it's going to be Landry for sure.
Yeah.
All right. The next one we got here is another receiver. This is sort of sad news here, but Marcus Lee, Jacksonville wide receiver, expected to have a good season, breakout season. He's the number one there. Of course, he's going to go to the IR now. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I wasn't huge on, from a fans perspective, obviously injury's terrible here, but from a fans perspective, I'm not really excited about anybody out of that receiving core. I'd say maybe it gives Moncrief a bump to be on that second receiver outside, being across from Keelan Cole, because his role is already there. And so is D.D. Westbrook's in the slot. So I think maybe Moncrief gets a bump, but I really don't want anyone of Jacksonville's receivers.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one as well. I think even before the injury, they're pretty deep at receiver, which is good if you're an NFL team, not good if you're a fantasy owner. I think they've got a bunch of, high upside guys, some average guys that can pretty much, do whatever they need to do. But they'll probably spread it out a little bit. They're not going to throw the ball a ton anyway. I mean, they got Blake Bortles back there at the quarterback position. He's not going to throw a ton. They're going to run Fournette. They're going to play good defense. I think they might have one receiver that might be fantasy relevant, whether it's Keenan Cole, whether it's Westbrook, whether it's Moncrief. But in a 12-team league, I don't know if I want any part of any of these guys unless it's like the last guy on my bench there. I don't think I'm going to be starting any of those guys for sure.
Nah, same here. It's not much like. I do like Bortles, though, as a streaming QB.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that one. I definitely agree with you. All right, Baker Mayfield, the news here, and it's kind of not really related to fantasy necessarily, but the news is he's going to start and play a lot in week 4 of the preseason. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm excited to see it. I love watching Baker play. He's fantastic. He's exciting. He does a little bit of everything. I still don't know if he's going to be starting right away. I still think it's Tyrod's job until further notice. But him getting more and more play, the Baker Mayfield era is coming.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I'm a dynasty owner, I'm a little bit nervous just because it is week 4. A lot of the guys that are, you know, playing in that week 4 game are trying to make a team, trying to make some kind of impact. They may get a little reckless on defense. You know, I could see some freak injury because some guy's trying to make the team, wants to make that big hit on the quarterback or whatever. And I could see him getting hurt, unfortunately. He's also been playing behind the second and third string offensive line. You know, he's not going to have his weapons out there. It's a bit dangerous for me for a number one, pick to be going out there in week 4 playing. At the same time, as a football fan, I want to see it. You know, I want to see what he's got. I want to see, you know, what this first pick can do. And if he can ever be, you know, the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, I think we'll see it in week 4 of the preseason. But if I'm an owner of him in dynasty leagues, I'm a little bit nervous with that.
Yes. Still very excited for him. I think that's his job eventually.
Yeah, I think so too. I think even before the season doubts, I think he takes over for Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's probably going to end up getting hurt anyway at some point, just the way that he plays. All right, Andrew Luck is back in the news with another injury. This time it's a minor foot injury. Are we worried about Andrew Luck's foot?
No, I think he's practicing already again today.
All right.
And it's not what was bothering him before. He should be all right. Agreed. As long as the shoulder's okay, I'm not that worried.
Agreed. What do you think about Andrew Luck? While we were just talking about Andrew Luck, what do you think about where he's going in drafts right now? I think he's finally moved up into top 9, top 8 quarterback. Are you comfortable taking him there?
Yeah, I like him there. I was a little sad I missed out on him in a couple of my drafts this weekend. I waited a little bit too long, but going as quarterback 8 or 9, I'll take the chance with him over somebody like Carson Wentz, even, who's hurt, or someone like Matt Stafford is right around there for me. His upside's QB1.
Definitely. Yeah, I think in my 10-team work league, I actually got him in the 11th round, so I was ecstatic about getting him there. So definite upside and value at that point. All right, the next one we got here is Sony Michel's back at practice, and he might be ready for week 1. Do we care at this point? I mean, is he going to be starting at any point this season? Chris Carson seems to have that position locked down right now.
Burkhead.
I'm sorry, you're right, Burkhead. I'm saying Michelle, and I'm thinking Rashard Penny.
They've seemed interchangeable with the news, anyways. But yeah, I hope he gets a starting job, and I want to see it. But he just makes that a lot more muddy for me. Because all the news is Burkhead was doing well, but they drafted him high. They loved his talent. They liked before he got hurt. It's going to be confusing until probably week 4 or 5 we have a little bit clearer view of what it is. I'll still take him mid-rounds in that last-minute drafts, but I'm throwing a little caution there.
Yeah, I agreed. And it's the Patriots. I mean, let's just face it. Even if he was fully healthy, could you really trust him in that offense? Because, you know, Bill Belichick could potentially put out Burkhead 1 week, James White the next week. Maybe he throws Jeremy Hill there at one point. You never really know what he's going to do. So even fully healthy, I'd be a little worried about him. So the fact that he's coming in a little bit injured, I'm definitely worried. He's still draftable in redraft for me. I think, you know, later rounds, not as high as he was going earlier in the season. But at this point, I think he still has some upside in that offense, especially with Tom Brady. I think also in best ball leagues, he's really good because I think he's going to have some really big weeks. But predicting when those weeks are going to be tough. So I think that, you know, Michelle's going to be a little bit more of a back burner guy for me.
Yeah, I do. I agree with him on best ball. I love him there.
Definitely, definitely. Next one we got here is Rishard Matthews is activated off the PUP. Apparently, there was no injury. It was just an under-disguised sort of holdout. They got his new contract set up, and suddenly he's back in on the field. What does this do for Corey Davis? What does this do for Tywan Taylor? What does this do for Rishard Matthews, for that matter? What is his value now in fantasy football?
He's one of the guys I'm kind of confused about right now. His hype kind of built up really high before he went his mysterious disappearance. But in his time away, Tywan Taylor stepped up in a big way as a second receiver on the outside. They moved him around. And I think he earned that job, or at least is pretty close to it. They're going to run three wide sets. He's probably going to get a lot of action, but I'm going to let some other people take him before I am. I'd rather draft Tywan Taylor later and have that upside.
Agreed, agreed. I actually picked him up on waivers in the league just because he was just sitting there, and I was like, all right, well, no one's taking him. I got some dead weight on the end of my roster. I'll go ahead and pick him up and see what he does. He's had some pretty good seasons. Not, you know, nothing spectacular, but he's been decent enough to have on the bottom of my bench.
Nice little plug and play.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so the next one we kind of wrote it down, and then I've heard some conflicting reports here, but Le'Veon Bell was supposed to report to camp on Labor Day, and now he's come out and said that that's fake news, that he's not going to report on Labor Day, or that he didn't say that. What do you think of this whole thing? And who leaked this information? Who do you think would leak this information?
Oh, it had to have been the hometown media right there, trying to get some clicks and people pay attention to it. I was listening to him talk about it on the way home today from work. He'll be there for week one. That's what matters.
That's all you need to know. Exactly. Now, do you think it's going to be like last season? I think last season he came back for week one, almost the same situation, and he only had like 10 carries. Do you think they limit him, or do you think because this is his last year, they just say, screw it, give him 30 plus touches?
I think they're running him into the ground from week one.
Agreed. Agreed.
They like Connor, or at least they seem to like Connor. So if Bell goes down, they'll fill him in for now until they replace him next year.
Yep, agreed. All right, a couple smaller pieces of news here, not really fantasy relevant per se, but Eric Decker retires. Anything there that you want to talk about with Eric Decker?
I'm going to miss Eric Decker. I used to have him in fantasy every year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been a good receiver, a good solid receiver for a very long time and sort of under the radar, especially in fantasy. But yeah, I think I agree. I think he's a good receiver that, you know, you could have on your team as a third or fourth receiver and be happy with it.
Yep, he get you 12 points a week, no matter what. It's great.
Yep, definitely. And then on the defensive side, for any of those IDP guys out there, or if you own the Broncos defense, Broncos signed Adam Pac-Man Jones. Anything there at all you want to talk about? Is it worth even mentioning?
Just another defensive back there for them, and they need somebody to replace Talib.
Agreed. Yeah, I think he's always been sort of a head case, and you know, but if he can get his stuff together, he does have something left in the tank, I believe. And you know, worst case scenario, they probably didn't sign him to very much. If he's no good, they just cut him. So I think that's a pretty good signing there. And fantasy, I don't know if I'm going to go out and necessarily take him in an IDP league. Or even care if I'm a Broncos owner, but it's just kind of interesting to note that, you know, they did sign him and, you know, the Broncos supposed to be one of the top defenses in the league. So let's see how that pans out. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break here. And then when we come back, we'll do some draft prep and we'll play a little over and under. Is that cool?
Yep. Works for me.
Three shows, one podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast Show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy Show. Eat, sleep, fantasy sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? Going4two.com has you covered. Going4two.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, Going4two.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, welcome back. I'm here with my new co-host, Ryan Searfoss, and we are going to talk some last-minute draft prep here, get you ready for your big drafts this weekend, if you've got any left. Of course, next week, next Thursday, we'll kick off the NFL season with the Eagles and the Falcons. So let's go ahead and jump right into it, Ryan. I know this guy you were really high on in the offseason, early in the offseason. He's kind of struggled in the preseason a little bit. Actually, he's been overtaken by the veteran there. But Ronald Jones, what's his redraft status? And as far as Peyton Barber passing him, where are you taking Peyton Barber in leagues right now?
I don't know if I am taking Peyton Barber personally. I still think it's going to end up being Ronald Jones' job. And Peyton Barber doesn't have enough upside to start early in the season. He's not going to be a guy there. He's going to be that bench player in flex due to buys and stuff like that. If I take him, probably a round or two before I'm taking my defense and kicker, if I have to take him, but fairly late still.
Gotcha. And you said Ronald Jones, redraft value, you want him as your RB4, RB5? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I'm leaning more around the RB4 or 5 range now. I'm a little more nervous than I was before. I still like my dynasty, but he's not getting it right now. But he's been running behind the twos. He's been running with the twos and not the starters like Peyton Barber has. He's been a significantly lower percentage in that. So it's just a matter of time and see if he'll perform better when he has more talent around him.
Yeah, agreed. I actually read some notes on Twitter about him, people asking the beat reporters like what they thought and, you know, all that stuff. And they basically said that the explosion is there, you know, that they could see the athlete in him if he can just get that little bit of a crease. Maybe that starting, you know, offensive line can get him that. Maybe he does have that breakout game. I think early in the season, if you drafted early in the season and had him as your RB, you know, three or his your flex position, you're a little worried. I know I'm in a league. It's a Twitter versus Instagram league, and there is a guy by the name of the Fancy Football Counselor who actually took Ronald Jones like in the fourth round. I think it's like his RB2. I think he's probably sweating bullets right now with him as your RB2. He's got some decent backups, so he might be okay. But I think Jones is a 4 or 5 running back for me for sure.
Yeah, I took him as my RB2 in Scott Fishbowl. But luckily I got Royce Freeman later.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Speaking of Royce Freeman, let's go. Is he the back to own in Denver right now? I mean, I know that it was that quote-unquote carries. They're going to share carries with whose name escapes me right now. What's his name? Who's the other guy he's running against?
Devontae Booker.
Yes, thank you. Devontae Booker. What do you think of this situation here?
I hate their coaching staff. they did this stuff before. They just try to force feed Booker the ball, and he's not really good. He's a 3-yard-a-carry guy for his whole career. I think he is receiving upside. He'll do some damage in the passing game to maybe be a flex, low flex spot in a tough situation, but Royce Freeman's the lead back there. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can catch the ball. He can block. He does everything. I think he's the man there. They just need to get over themselves and start him and not do that anti-rookie stuff.
Yeah, they just don't want to admit that they made a mistake by getting Booker, I think. I think it's just they want to hold on to him. I agree. I watched it preseason because I actually own him in my Dynasty League, and I was hoping that he would be the one to emerge, and I think he has. So I think that going into the season, I'm a little bit worried with this carry share, but I think after a game or two, I think Freeman's job to lose, and Booker will be sitting on the bench watching him. So I agree. I think Royce Freeman is going to be a stud, and I think that if you're drafting right now, you could probably get him as a, you know, a RB2, RB3 flex position somewhere in there and feel comfortable with that.
Yep, I have him as RB2 on my weekend drafts this on Sunday.
Good deal. All right, I kind of jumped the gun on this guy earlier. I was talking about Sony Michel, but I meant to talk about Rashad Penny and his value with Chris Carson there as the starter. What's your thoughts on that?
If I'm buying anybody, it's Chris Carson. He's still at a very late round ADP, and Rashard Penny's is still a little bit higher. And they don't talk about Penny. He hasn't done anything, and they love Chris Carson. I don't know why they drafted Penny in the first round. Doesn't make sense. Nothing they really do does. I'm probably going to just stay away from their backfield, but if I had to choose, I'm going to take Carson later.
Agreed. I actually got him in my my 10-team and my 16-team league this past weekend. I think that his value right now as the potential number one running back is just too hard to pass up. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here. I know we had some notes that we wanted to talk about, but someone on Facebook asked me about your boy, and I want you to kind of go on about him. Alec Pickus asks about Joe Mixon, and what do you think about Joe Mixon? And I know you love Joe Mixon right now.
Dude, I love Joe Mixon. I think he's going to be a borderline RB1 this year. He's the complete back. He can receive. He can run through the tackles. He's big, strong, he's fast. They actually have an offense now. They improved their line. We saw John Ross can do taking the top off of defense with that speed, which has to keep them honest so they can't just crowd the box. And, you know, A.J. Green's still there. Eifert may or may not be healthy. If he's healthy, that opens it up more. I have no problem picking Joe Mixon in the late second, early third. And I think he has a ton of upside. And if I can buy him in Dynasty, I will.
I'm actually on the opposite end of that spectrum. I know we've had this conversation many times before. I just don't think that the offensive line is improved enough for Joe Mixon to be a top back. I could be wrong on this. I'm not buying John Ross. Now, this past weekend may have changed my mind a little bit on him. But I don't think that he is the receiver that everyone that hopes he's going to be. I could, once again, be proved wrong on that. I just didn't see much from him last year that I liked. He seemed to be the guy that just got 3 yards and fell down. I know you've watched a lot more college ball than I do, so maybe you saw some things in college that, you know, that he... But last year, I just didn't see it. And even the numbers don't really hold, too. I think I did an article for Fantasy Pros where we basically debated this. And the couple games that he got, like, 15-plus carries, he averaged, like, 3 yards a carry. So if he's going to be the lead back getting 15-plus carries, I need more than 3 yards a carry for sure.
Like I said, man, different situation. Two new linemen. You're all right. New offense around them.
Definitely right.
And we're talking third round, late second, after guys like Christian McCaffrey. And we have a big gap of talent and a lot of question marks. I'll take a guy who I know is going to get 17 to 20 touches a game.
All right, fair enough. I guess the season will tell us who's right. All right, let's talk about another offensive line that has some issues and a potential top back, and that's Ezekiel Elliott with his offensive line issues. I think he's currently going around number 4 overall in most leagues. I have him ranked at number 4. Are we going to drop him in our rankings? Are you drafting him later than 4 because of his offensive line?
No. He's my 3 or 4. I'm not passing Zeke. He's good.
He is. Yeah,
he's gonna get 20 cut. He's gonna get minimum 20 carries a game. He's a horse. That offense runs through him. Yes, their line's gonna be down a little bit, but he's an unbelievable talent. I'm all in on Zeke this year, and it'd be tough for him had him and David Johnson, but I'd probably still take him over Johnson.
Fair enough. I have met 4 right behind David Johnson, and I kind of said this earlier this year or this week. That before Zeke was number 4 and he was close to 3. Now I think he's number 4 and he's closer to 5. But he's still number 4 overall. I'm okay with taking Zeke at 4. Offensive line issues or not, he's going to get the ball a ton. He'll get the ball on the goal line. They're talking about getting him involved in the passing game more. I think he's in for a big year regardless of what his offensive line does this year. I think he's going to be in a good situation all overall.
Yeah, I mean, he's... I don't know who I'd be comfortable taking over him after 4 anyways.
Right, definitely. Alvin Kamara would be the one that maybe I would think about, but even that, I'm sort of predicting Alvin Kamara to have some regression from last year, so I think Zeke is solidly in number 4 spot for me. All right, let's talk about the Packers a little bit. They got all kinds of stuff going on. They got a running back situation with potentially three guys there. Their wide receiver three situation is kind of interesting. Who's going to get that position there, which in that Packers offense, that wide receiver three is actually a very valuable position. And then, of course, they have Cobb, and Cobb is in and out of the lineups with being injured. I've heard rumors he could be traded, that he can potentially even be cut. That's the Packers. What do you think of the Packers situations right now?
Start with Cobb. I'm not worried about Cobb. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. They have all these young guys and receivers, but nobody who has Rodgers' trust yet, and Cobb's been with them longer than anyone else in the receiving corps, including Devontae Adams, who's a clear one. I think Cobb's going to stay there as a safety blanket. The running backs are – I guess I should hit the receivers. I have no idea who the third receiver's going to be.
I guess it's
Geronimo Allison as of now, but – it's going to be somebody we pick up in free agency like we did with – oh, God, who was the receiver they had a few years ago who came out of nowhere and scored like 8 touchdowns for them?
Is it the older gentleman, James Jones? Yeah, he was kind of washed up.
James Jones.
He was washed up, came back, no one expected him to do anything, and he was a beast.
That's what's going to happen with one of these young guys or something. No one's going to know who it is, and they're going to pop up, have a bunch of big games, and then burn you later in the season.
Yep, I agree. I think it's there's like a bunch of guys there. They even have, I think, that undrafted rookie Kumro that had a really big preseason. He's now in the mix between the, you know, Jamon Moore and the other guy, Marcus Scanling, whatever his name is. And they've got one more guy there. I can't think of the other guy's name. But
Eponemius St. Brown.
Yes, yeah, there you go. So yeah, he was predicted to be the top guy there, and he got picked the third of all those guys. So it's tough to say right there, but... if I'm drafting this weekend, I think the one I would want to own is Allison. I think he's got the inside track there, and I think that if I'm going to take one of them, I'm taking Allison.
Yeah, still, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with any of those guys yet. Some of you think hold. I have a lot of Jamon Moore shares in Dynasty, so I'm ready for him.
Yeah, definitely. I have him as well. He's had a rough preseason, though. A lot of drops I'm hearing, so hopefully he can get that fixed.
Yeah, that's been the case. The running backs are going to be fun. I think Jamal Williams is a good back. He's not exciting. He's going to bring that old Eddie Lacy feel where he just pounds between the tackles. Aaron Jones is the more talented guy, so if he gets the job, I think he's going to be the starting back. I can see him with more yards but less carries than Williams. And I've been buying Ty Montgomery late everywhere in redraft in like the last couple rounds because he has a role. He's going to be their pass catching back. He can ride it loud in the slot. He can run the ball. He can do it. He's going to get touches. And he can be a flex option in a pinch.
Agreed. And I think they just need to limit his touches because, man, he gets hurt seemingly every time he touches the ball. If they can keep him into like a Chris Thompson role like the Redskins have where they just, you know, got him the ball in past situations and, you know, used him sparingly enough, I think he can have more value by being used less, if that makes any sense.
No, 100% agree. I was actually thinking that before you said it.
All right. A few questions here we got on Facebook. We'll try to get to these. Now, we kind of talked a little bit about him, but let's go ahead and go over him again. Is Josh Gordon worth the gamble this year, you think? I think you said you didn't really believe in him too much.
Yeah, where he's going, I'm not buying him. I like the guys around him more at both running back, receiver, and some of the tight ends in the area. I'm staying away personally, but if you want to take the gamble and go for the upside, I understand it. But he hasn't had 1,000 yards receiving in, 5 years now?
Yep, definitely. And then I got one more question here. It's from Mikey Vandegrift. He says, is he crazy to think that Fournette outscores Zeke and DJ this year? Is that a crazy statement?
I want to say no. I'm high for that. He's right in that running back 5-7 range for me today. And I mean, the offense is built for him. They're going to get in the red zone. They're going to play ball control because their defense is fantastic. So he's going to get a ton of carries. I could see him being in the top running for most amount of touches with Lev Bell and Zeke. So to think that or go for him there, I love it. You can get him later in drafts, which is great.
Definitely, definitely. All right, speaking of running backs here, so everyone coming into the season had Isaiah Crowell as the Jets' lead running back. But in preseason, if you watch preseason, Bilal Powell actually started all the preseason games and actually played better So if you're to own one Jets running back, is it Crowell or is it Bilal Powell?
I think it's still Crowell. He's a better talent. He's younger. He's proved that he can do it in both passing and rushing. They could just be keeping him healthy. And Bilal Powell worries me because Elijah McGuire's coming back and they have very similar roles.
Yeah, definitely. I actually have Elijah McGuire currently stashed on my IR in my dynasty, so I'm hoping that he does come back, is healthy, and can be that passing down back that they're going to make Bilal Powell right now. But Powell did look good, so maybe he's being pushed by that thought of having Elijah McGuire there. But I think you're right. I think Isaiah Crowell is still the one that if I'm drafting, I think Crowell's the one I want. He's getting the red zone touches. He'll be the workhorse. I think Bilal Powell will be in there on pass situations. But overall, I think Crowell still is the better talent, and I agree that he should be the one that you take.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw Crow catch 40 balls the 1 year in Cleveland, so we know he can do it in both ways.
Yep, definitely. Actually, I had a guy that's actually watching right now on Facebook, Gerson, predicted that Crowell would have this big breakout season after that 40 catch season. He had the catches being a breakout right. He had the wrong running back. Duke Johnson, of course, had a huge season that year and took pretty much all of Crowell's receptions away from him. But yeah, Crow's definitely capable of it. So I could see that definitely happening for sure. All right, let's go look at the Patriots now. They got some interesting receivers here. They got a bunch of scraps they've picked up all over the league. But some guy named Cordell Patterson, you know, he's been sort of bounced around as this breakout guy forever. Of course, he's famously known for being one of Matthew Berry's big picks preseason, and of course, he flopped terribly. Is Cordell Patterson draft-worthy this year in redraft?
I mean, I'm not taking him. I have no idea where he's even going to be on the New England depth chart. We know Chris Hogan's going to be the one. We got Edelman coming back at some point. I think Philip Dorsett has a better chance of getting that deep ball role that we saw Brandon Cooks have last year. So Patriots receivers are almost as hard to judge as the running backs, except they're just not as talented.
Yep, agreed. I think the only receiver I want to own there, if you're not taking Edelman with the suspension, is probably Chris Hogan, and that's it.
Yeah, love Hogan this year.
Definitely.
But nothing much after him.
All right, we talked a little bit about him earlier, but Christian McCaffrey, I've seen him go in the first round over the last, you know, week or so in some mocks. Is that too high? Is that too steep for Christian McCaffrey, bottom of the first round?
I think it's just a little bit steep. If he did it, I'm not going to be mad, but there's a lot of good guys who you're taking over him. I mean, that means you're taking him either ahead of someone like an OBJ, D-Hop, Fournette, Dalvin Cook at the end of the draft, guys who you know are going to be horses for their teams. I think he's close, but there's a lot of new weapons on that team, so I'd slot him just in the beginning of the second.
Agreed, agreed. I think I had a league where I was it's a 12-team league. I think I was the 12th pick, and I got him and Melvin Gordon back-to-back, and I was quite happy with where I got him at there. So I think that league went a lot of running back heavy, so there wasn't much left towards the end of the draft. So I ended up getting two decent running backs there at the end, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, I saw him like right between like Kareem Hunt and somebody and maybe Devonta Freeman.
Yep, agreed. All right, so a hot name right now, a rookie receiver for the Saints, Tre'Quan Smith. Of course, the Saints and Drew Brees have a history of doing this. Marcus Colston, of course, had a huge rookie season. Mike Thomas, who's still on the team now, had a huge rookie season. Is Tre'Quan Smith the next Saints rookie to have a big rookie season?
I think Tre'Quan Smith's going to do good. He's a burner. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's showed up in the preseason. And he's competing against Ted Ginn, who is getting older in age and doesn't have the skill set that he has right now. I mean, Smith ran a 4.49, so he's moving, and for a 6'2 receiver, that's nice. So I like what he's going to do with across from Michael Thomas. I think he's definitely worth a mid to late round pick.
Definitely agree with you there. I actually had someone on Facebook posted like a make your bold predictions on who gets cut, and I had one of the Saints receivers being cut, either Cameron Meredith or Ted Ginn being cut in favor of Tre'Quan Smith. I don't know if it'll happen. It's a bold prediction. You know, they did sign Meredith. They do like Ted Ginn, but I could see it happening. If they think Traquan Smith is going to be that receiver, there's no sense keeping those two guys around, or both of those guys around.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely can bring it. They like him.
All right, another rookie receiver there that kind of showed up. I think everyone just kind of thought he'd be big next year, not this year, but he showed out in preseason pretty well. Courtland Sutton for the Denver Broncos seems to have that number three spot locked up. Is he draft worthy?
I said he's a late round flyer guy. Kind of hits into the next section we're going to talk about, like the late round with taking receivers early in redraft leagues. They really don't do much. I mean, first round pick, he's still behind Emmanuel Sanders, he's still behind Demaryius Thomas. And I mean, Case Keenum was great last year, but is Case Keenum going to keep doing that? I don't believe he will. So I don't think he can put together three fantasy relevant receivers. He could be a late round dart throw, but I'm not banking anything on it.
Agreed. I think Sutton in Dynasty is definitely worth it. I think either Emmanuel Sanders or DT is gone next year. Maybe even both of them are gone next year. So I think in Dynasty, he's definitely worth it. This year, I think they're just not going to pass the ball enough for him to be worthy as a three receiver. Unless, you know, Sanders or DT get hurt, I don't think he's going to have a big enough role to be relevant unless you're in a really deep 16-team league or something.
Yeah, I'm probably staying away from him redraft, too. Let somebody else get him, and I'll take someone like Kenny Stills in that area.
Definitely. All right, give me a few late-round guys that you've been taking in some of your leagues lately.
Some of the late-round guys I've been taking, Traquan Smith's one of them. Ty Montgomery, who we also talked about, I grabbed him, I'm pretty sure, in the last round of every league I did. Love Tywan Taylor's upside. And then Buck Allen's another one. He has the receiving back role in Baltimore, and he's basically an undrafted free agent. There's some of my like deep guys I've been grabbing up lately who I think is going to give me some value.
Definitely. I got one that's going to be probably pretty deep and is kind of a flyer, too, and may not have a big role through the entire season, but Shelton Gibson for the Philadelphia Eagles has been getting a lot of buzz. Of course, Alshon Jeffrey is out for at least 2 weeks, if not more. He could get some run early in the season. He's shown really well in preseason. I think that with that receiving core being banged up, if they can't seem to get healthy, he could be he's a late-round flyer. He's not going to be your three or your four, but I think if you're wanting something just a lottery ticket, I think he can definitely be that guy for you. And then you kind of stole my thunder a little bit too. I also had Traquan Smith. Peyton Barber was one that I had that I got pretty late. He's been rising a little bit lately just because if he's secured that number one position. But if you can get Peyton Barber late, even if you can get Peyton Barber and Royce Freeman, I'm sorry, Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, sort of a stack, you're going to have both running backs there. One of them's going to get the lead job eventually. You could definitely do that as well. But those are the kind of guys I'm taking towards the end of the rounds.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins is another one. He's been rising a little bit, but he might win that starting job at Indy. And then another one who's been super late is more in the free agency role, especially in like Dynasty and deeper redraft leagues, Jonathan Williams.
Oh, yes, from the Saints.
He was good for a little bit, then kind of disappeared. Yeah, he's right now they're talking about him having the Mark Ingram role while he's suspended.
Yep.
And he was a talented guy. He could be somebody who could hold on to that. And we all know they hate Mark Ingram. And they always look for excuses not to use him. So definitely, that could be the reason to get rid of him if he goes and shows out.
Definitely. All right, so we'll leave this on the note here. Any word of advice for the drafters this weekend? Anything that you've got in impart your wisdom on the listeners right now?
Yeah, biggest thing is just be loose with the draft and don't be restricted by it. So I'm not coming into a draft saying I'm taking running back, receiver, however you think you want to do it. Go in and say, I want to go zero RB, zero wide receiver. Going in like that, you're going to restrict yourself and miss on talent. I will go out and take the best players I can, no matter what the position is, through the first six rounds and fill it out later through trades. But I'm going to get the most talent available.
Agreed. That's advice I always give whenever I go on to anybody's podcast or show is don't go in with this preconceived draft notion that you're going to do RB or receiver, or whatever the case may be, and don't even think that you're going to get a certain guy. Perfect example is my 16-team league. I think I was drafted number 7 or 8, and I pretty much had it in my head I'd get DeAndre Hopkins. When it came for me to pick, Hopkins was already off the board, and sitting there was Alvin Kamara. So I took Alvin Kamara, obviously, but you can't have that sort of preconceived, like, this is the guy I'm going to get, and basically build your draft thinking that. You never know what you're going to have fall to you. You never know what guys ahead of you are going to like, and I think going in with some kind of preconceived notion of what you're going to do can actually limit what you're going to actually finish up with. So go in with an open mind. Actually have a plan, but don't necessarily stick to that plan no matter what, because you might miss on somebody that's a lot better than the guy you end up with. All right. You want to play a little over-under?
Yeah. And then, I mean...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sure.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Over-under works for me.
All right. Over-under. So basically how this works, guys, is I'm going to give him a player and sort of a milestone for him to reach, and he's got to go over or under and tell us why. And we'll take these, we'll go one at a time. So I'll give one for you, you can give one to me, and we'll just kind of go through them that way. So the first one I got here is a guy that, you know, we've talked about a little bit already on this podcast, Mr. Christian McCaffrey, over under 1,700 all-purpose yards.
That one was kind of threw me off. I'm gonna say under. I think it's gonna be close because he does it all, and I think he's gonna kill in the receiving game. I think he'll have 80 catches this year, and probably 7,800 rushing yards. But I think he's just gonna come close. I'd say maybe the 1,500, between like 1,450 and 1,600. I think he'll be just shy, but I don't think that's a bad thing. 1,700 yards is a ton for any player.
Definitely.
Like, that's elite, like Lev Bell, David Johnson type.
Yep. I think last year, I think there was 4 or 5 running backs that actually had this much all-purpose yards. I'm going to go under slightly as well, too. And I don't know because I haven't checked, but I know last year he was actually returning kicks as well. I don't think they plan on using him that way this year, but if he was returning kicks, I would go over on this. But if he's just doing, you know, his normal running back role, I don't think he gets the 1,700 yards.
Now, that's a ton. That means he's a top 5 running back this year.
Well, happens. You know who's on that list of, I think he had pretty close to 1,700 last year, and you would never guess, but Tarik Cohen actually was on that list last year because he was that running back that also received kicks and punts, so that kind of inflated his yardage total a little bit.
I did not know that one.
All right, what you got for me?
All right, I got over-under Josh Gordon, 1,000 yards. I'm not going into my answer at all on this one because I think it's pretty apparent. But what do you got for him?
All right, over-under Josh Gordon, 1,000 yards. I'm going to go under, and not by a lot, though. I do think he gets close to 1,000 yards, but I think with the weapons they have there with David Njoku and Jarvis Landry, and they've got a good stable of running backs that can also catch the ball out of the backfield like Duke Johnson. I just don't see him getting enough targets to reach that 1,000-yard mark. So I'm going to go slightly under. I'm going to probably put him around like 900, 950 on the high end. So that's what I'm going with Josh Gordon. What you got?
Josh Gordon yardage-wise, I'm trying to figure out. I think he's going to be more around like the 750, 800 range. I think he'll have big games. I think there's going to be games he disappears. But he can be all right, but it's not like I said. He's a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 for me. I don't think he's going to come real close to that.
All right, agreed. All right, the next one I got for you, Todd Gurley. Had 19 total touchdowns last year, so I'm setting the over-under at 15 for this year. What you got for Todd Gurley? Over-under, 15 touchdowns.
I'm going to say under. I think there's a lot of weapons in that offense, and it has to regress a little. They were too efficient. They were great. And I think the tight ends will take a little bit more of a threat in the red zone. I really like Gerald Everett and what he can bring in the red zone as a receiver because they didn't do a ton of passing there. I mean, Cooper Kupp was their slot guy. He had the most red zone targets, and they didn't have that big body person really playing last year. I think Everett can make that difference. And Cooks has been very good in the red zone the last 3 years of his career.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be under. It'll be close, but I think it's a little under.
Yeah, I think I'm going to basically have him as a push. I think I'm going to give him 15 total touchdowns this year. That's where I'm setting the mark, and that's where I think he's going to end up. 19 touchdowns is a lot to try to repeat. And I think that, you know, he's still going to be the number one, you know, player in fantasy, I believe. But 15 touchdowns is where I've got him. So I'm going to go basically a push on that one.
Yeah, I got him a 13.
All right. What you got for me? What's the next one?
Andrew Luck, over under 30 touchdowns.
Oh, man. So 30 touchdowns is quite a lot. I think a few years ago, I remember Tom Brady and Blake Bortles led the league at like 32 touchdowns. So to have 30 touchdowns is going to put him in elite top three category, and I'm going to go slightly under. I think his career average is like 26 touchdowns. I think I'll put him right at that number. I put him at 26 and go slightly under.
I'm close on it. I think I'm going to be very similar to you. I have them at 28, and I think they're going to be having to pass the ball a lot because they're not a good team.
Yep,
I agree. And they could be playing behind, so that could keep him close, but he's got to have some rust he's got to throw off.
Agreed.
His game, because it's been a long time.
Yeah, I think he's going to have, if he has the 27, 28 touchdowns, whatever, he's going to have, you know, 17, 18 interceptions as well, because he's going to throw the ball so much that it's just going to be impossible for him to be that efficient with those, with that talent he's got there.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't even know who their real number two receiver is.
Right.
I guess it's Ryan Grant.
Yeah, I think it's by name only, I think, because I think they got a bunch of guys that are pretty much on the same level as Ryan Grant.
Yeah, and I mean, he couldn't even make a team in Baltimore. We had no receivers.
All right, Jarvis Landry, of course, has always been a he's always been sort of a target monster in Miami. Of course, he's now in Cleveland. I think last year he led the league in receptions. So this year, over under 90 receptions.
I'm going to say it's going to be his first year. I think he's going to go under it. I think it's going to be like that 80 to 85 range. It'll be close, but I think he's going to have an uptick in his efficiency, yards per catch, because I think he's going to be used in a little bit of a different way. So I'm going to say under, but I think it's going to be a good year for him.
All right, yeah, I think I'm going to go slightly over. I think his career low, I believe, was 94, if I remember correctly. I'm going to go with him being slightly over on that. Not a whole lot. He's not going to get the 100-plus receptions like he did last year. I'll put him at like 93, 94, but I will go over on Jarvis Landry. I think he gets a ton of targets there.
Yeah. That'll be real close for him.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. All right, what you got for me?
Mike Evans, over under 10 touchdowns.
All right, as the proud owner of Mike Evans in my dynasty, and if Gerson's still listening on Facebook, he knows how much I love Mike Evans. I'm going to go over on this, and if you look at his history, I think he's been in the league now 4 years. First year, his rookie year, he had 12 touchdowns. The next year, I think he had 5 touchdowns. Then he had 12 touchdowns again, and then last year, I think he had 3, or maybe it was the other way around. He had 3 and then 5, but either way, he's been up, down, up, down. So if we're going by history and pattern, this is going to be his up year. He'll get 12 or 13 touchdowns this year, so I'm going to go over with Mike Evans.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I actually was in a little bit of a debate about Mike Evans this morning and kind of dug a little deeper on his stats. And what a huge difference having an injured Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick had on him last year. If you looked at his contested targets, which he had 48 of his 131 targets were contested balls last year, wow, which was up there for the most, like up there the most in the league. This year or the year before, 2016, with a healthy Jameis, he had 11 contested targets.
Wow,
that's when he comes back off injury. He's healthy this year. That's a huge difference, man. He's getting the ball where it's not being forced, and he has to fight for it every single time. And he gets that, his 19 red zone targets he gets a year, he's going to be up there. I think he has a bounce back year. And right, I think he gets easily over 10 touchdowns.
Agreed. And I think last year, I think for players that led, I think he was at top 7 or top 8 in red zone targets. And for players that were in that top 10, he had the lowest touchdown rate. And it was like something crazy, like 12 or 13%, which is like ridiculously low. So he led, you know, he was like in the top 10 in targets in the red zone, but was the lowest as far as turning into touchdowns. that has to go back. I mean, that has to be, there has to be some kind of, what do they call it, negative regression, positive regression, whatever they call that that term. But I think there's just, it's going to even out, basically. It's got to even out. He gets that many targets in the red zone, he's going to score touchdowns. He's a huge receiver, and I think that he gets at least 12 this year, if not more.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to, everybody's going to be regretting letting him drop as much as they did and getting rid of him in Dynasty for less than they should have.
Definitely. All right. The next one I got for you is my boy out in San Francisco. Over under Jerick McKinnon with 70 receptions, which would be a career high for him.
Being I drafted him in the third round, I want to say over, but I'd be lying. I have him slotted at 52. Which is still really good for him, but there's a lot of weapons there. We don't know how Jimmy G's going to be, if he's going to push the ball or what he's really going to do. And he's got Kittle there, he's got all those receivers. I think it'll be a little under. I think he'll have a solid year, probably be a nice RB too. But 70 receptions is getting up to elite territory. I don't know if he's there yet.
I have to agree with you on that as well. I think that they're going to spread it around, even with the two running backs there with Matt Breida. You know, he may get in the game for some. It's going to limit Jerick McKinnon's on the field time. He's not going to get, I think last year, I want to say he had 64 receptions last year, which was, you know, his career high at this point. So 70 would be that he would do what he did last year, plus then also be the lead back for a team. I don't know if he's capable of handling that type of workload. So I'm going to go under as well. I'm not going quite as low as you with the 50 plus. I think I'm going to go right around 60, basically what he got last year, 60 receptions. In that offense, I think he can be good, but not quite 70. I think 70 is a bit much.
Yeah.
All right, last one. What you got?
Over under Jordan Reed 8 games.
All right, Jordan Reed 8 games. Of course, I live in Washington D.C. The whole hubbub is that if he can stay healthy, this team can be good. And 8 games is something that he can barely even manage. Even when he plays, he's not healthy. I'm going to go over, actually. I'm going to give him 9 games this year. He plays 9 healthy games. He'll probably end up in the top 12 for tight ends overall for the season. But if you own him, you're going to be hating life because he will be in and out of the lineup. He'll be one of those game time decisions every week. Do you play him? Do you not play him? Just an overall headache. But I'll give him 9 games this week, this year.
Now, is that 9 whole games or is that just showing up and putting on the pads?
Now you're getting tricky. Let's go with, all right, I'm going to say 9 whole games. He gives you 9 whole games. He may be injured for a couple of those, but he can start and finish the game. He'll give you 9.
Ooh, that's bold. That means he's getting drafted and deserves it then.
This is true. What do you got for him? Under?
I got under, and I say his 34-year-old counterpart definitely plays more games than him this year.
Vernon Davis?
Okay. Yep.
And that connection is there again, too. I don't know if people don't realize it, but before Gronkowski had his record-breaking 15-touchdown season or whatever it was, Alex Smith and Vernon Davis actually had that record before. They had 14 touchdowns, I think, back in 2012, 2011, somewhere in that range. So, yeah, definitely. I think that connection could be a big thing with him and Alex Smith there in Washington.
I forgot all about that one.
I only know because
a little boost for me.
Yeah, I owned him in that year because I actually made the best trade ever. And if Troy's listening to this podcast right now, he's going to hate me. So it was preseason. Troy actually drafted 3 tight ends mistakenly. He didn't mean to draft a 3rd tight end. So I traded, and I can't even think of the receiver's name now. He was a Patriots receiver. He was a big in preseason. And literally did nothing the rest of his career. Nothing. I have to look up his name. But I traded that receiver for Vernon Davis, who then went and had 14 touchdowns and actually won my league that year. So that's why I remember that season very vividly.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots receiver, you described a lot of guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A whole lot of them.
All right, that about wraps the podcast up, guys. Once again, co-host me and Ryan will be here pretty much every Tuesday during the season, breaking down each week and giving you advice for the week upcoming. Make sure you tune in. Of course, like I said, we're at Going for Two's fan page. We're also at Ryan's Facebook page, which is Fantasy Football Connect. Year-round fantasy football will be there. Also, Dynasty League Problems will also be there as well. So please follow one of those groups, join one of those groups, and we'll be seeing you every Tuesday. I think eventually we will open up the quote-unquote phone lines to have questions from all the people on Facebook. But for now, we're just going to run with our script. And again, Ryan, appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to the season with you.
Awesome. Me too, man. Glad to be here.
All right. And before we sign out here, of course, you can follow me at JeffLambert77 on Twitter. Ryan, what's your Facebook? What's your Twitter handle?
Find me, Ryan Sirifoss at FantasyFBConnect.
All right. And with that, we are out.
All right, peace.